This Friday, you can get your exclusive limited edition Springfield's Talk 104. Excuse me. Just had to spray COVID everywhere. Springfield's Talk 104.1 face mask at Ming Auto Beauty Center. Now, this is a face mask that we've crafted. They're high quality. They are adjustable. And they have 104.1 KSGF and then the Reagan quote, government's not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. Which could have a few different meanings in today's context. And we had a number of these that we gave away at a partner location on Friday. They went very quickly. And so we were able to obtain some more. And our partners at Ming Auto Beauty Center on Republic Road, just off National, said, you know what, we'd be more than happy to provide our location as a place where KSGF listeners can come and get some of these masks. So they're free. And it is first come, first serve. Ming Auto Beauty Center, which, by the way, is a fantastic place to get your vehicle detailed. And I'm not talking about just wiped down. I mean, go in there and talk to them about what an incredible job they do. They are open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. This Friday is when those masks will be available. If you want to stop by that location at 8 a.m. and get one of those masks, one per person, please. Don Luzader with the latest news update.
And good morning. The Niagara School District is switching to a virtual learning schedule because of some positive cases of COVID-19. Kids will be learning from home through at least Friday, October 2nd. All extracurricular activities have been called off. The voice and piano lessons are coming to an end at a well-known fine arts academy in Springfield. The founder of Conservatory of the Ozarks says a dramatic decrease in student enrollment during the pandemic has made it difficult to stay open, so the academy in the Kickapoo Corner Shopping Center will close at the end of the month. Many of the students will be able to continue to work with their teachers online or through in-home lessons. And an unusual call for firefighters with the Southwest Camden Fire Department. So they answered a call Tuesday helping a horse stuck in a pond. Firefighters were able to get that horse out. They're near Lake of the Ozarks, and that animal is being treated by a vet. It's unclear if horseplay led to that animal getting stuck.
No, stop.
We have photos of the rescue with this story at KSGF.com.
Undo that.
Parker Padgett made me do it.
Oh, see, you should know better.
I know. So
the student has not become the teacher.
No, he is not. It just didn't play well.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
KTTS First Alert Forecast. Sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. I've been doing my show from my St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement studio here in my home for the last couple of weeks. Mostly sunny, a high of 83 today, cloud 60 tonight, sunny 80 tomorrow and Friday. A high of 77 is expected. Let me see what the current temp is. Nope, that is the picture folder. That will not show us what we need to know. 63 and mostly sunny now. Okay, so I mentioned this with the Wampler earlier, and I just wanted to update you what the lawsuit currently is with Judicial Watch and the Secret Service. Sorry, no, actually, this is against the Department of Homeland Security. I think it was last year, there were stories floating around, and Gateway Pundit had one of the stories, and it may have been the original source, that back when Biden was in the White House as vice president, they were, I guess, doing, I don't know the exact circumstances, but Biden was taking a photo with the girlfriend of a Secret Service agent. And according to the story, he grabbed her boob. And not in this, oops, I'm sorry, I accidentally brushed you, but it was so clear and so obvious that the Secret Service agent boyfriend, despite the fact this was the vice president of the United States, went after Joe. And as the story goes, it took several Secret Service agents to prevent him from clocking Joe Biden. He was suspended for a period of time. Now, I understand some people would say, well, why wouldn't that? I mean, you think that they'd fire the guy. Well, if you're Joe Biden, if you're Obama, you can understand how it's... They've got to do something, but you don't want this to get out if this is true. You don't want people finding out a Secret Service agent got fired for attacking the Vice President of the United States and then people asking why. So time goes by and Judicial Watch decides they're going to file a Freedom of Information Act request for records regarding the incident. Because obviously there's going to be some sort of file if this happened. Not a file on Biden, but a file on the Secret Service agent who tried to attack the Vice President of the United States. Now, speculation is Judicial Watch, more than anything, was looking to just put this to bed. I'm sure they were constantly, because Judicial Watch, more than anyone, seems to be an organization that successfully gets records through these requests. And so I imagine they probably were being peppered with requests to make this happen. And so maybe just to make this go away or lay the story to rest, or perhaps just out of curiosity, decided to go ahead and file that request, expecting most likely to be told there's no such report because no such incident occurred. Now, Judicial Watch instead got a response from the Secret Service saying that we don't have a file on that incident because we destroyed it. Now, they claim they restored it because of retention standards. Now, whatever that means, presumably that after a period of time, they destroy personnel records, or if an individual's no longer with, you know, the Secret Service, they destroy the records. This is what the claim is. Judicial Watch isn't buying it. Now, number one, they were shocked that the Secret Service admitted that there was an incident report on this, because that's an acknowledgement that something did happen. That was a surprise to them. So at this point, they are suing, they're challenging the assertion that these records were actually destroyed, and if they actually were, if they were legitimately destroyed, or if this is like anything else that makes Democrats look bad, you know, phones get wiped clean, servers get wiped clean, and reports get destroyed and they up and disappear. So that's where things are currently. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Here's the latest traffic. I'm going to do something that I don't do on a consistent basis, and that is pick up on subject matter that we were talking about in the 6 o'clock hour. And if you missed any of it, I recommend you subscribe to iTunes, Spotify, or you go back and listen to the podcast. And I had received what would eventually be from numerous sources information about this, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, the beginning of indoctrination of teachers in the Springfield public school systems regarding white supremacy and how supporting law enforcement is white supremacy, being a Trump supporter, supporting making America great again is white supremacy. Kids who don't want to worry or think or care about race or judge people on race, but instead want to see people as individuals, that is white supremacy. And, of course, the awful nature of this. And it's awful from a number of different standpoints. One, it is the repeating of history. It's almost the old saying, two wrongs don't make a right. In the sense that they seemingly have a goal of pointing out all of the wrongs, but in doing so, they are committing wrongs as well. So the wrongs of judging people by race, and how do they do that? By judging people by race. Somehow believing, you know, it's this idea revenge, of evening the score, I guess is the best way to put it, that in their minds, evening the score is the way that you make things right. And there are a couple of different approaches that people over time have taken and societies have accepted. And one is, when it comes to peace and harmony and people living together, it is the forgiveness and moving forward. And then there is the revenge factor, the evening the score factor. Now, of course, those that I would consider to be more enlightened, understand human nature and history, recognize that the evening the score by constantly pointing out who did what wrong and never letting it go, and then in turn doing the same thing as a way to sort of level things out, if you will, that never results in peace and harmony. It just doesn't. Whatever the motivations are, you can argue all day that it's the right thing to do, but the fact is you never end up with unity in the sense of people agreeing that people are different and that we have different backgrounds and things in the past that may have occurred were wrong and so forth. But you know, we as human beings want to move forward, move together. That does not occur when you pin one against one another. You can analogize it to, let's say you've got two people in couples counseling, and one of the individuals, and the goal supposedly is to fix the relationship. Perhaps part of the problem in the relationship has been because of past bad sins from the husband. Maybe he was unfaithful or abusive. And he no longer is. But that left scars. And so in an attempt to not allow past behavior to break up what otherwise might be a good relationship, they decide to go into counseling. Now imagine if every counseling session was lecturing the husband on how wrong he was for what he did. Do you think that that would eventually lead to the specified goal of having a healthy relationship in the future? No, of course not. Of course it wouldn't. It furthers the divide. It prevents a healthy relationship from occurring. Anyone who understands this recognizes that whenever you have a situation and there are things that have occurred in the past that are hurtful, if the relationship is going to move forward in a harmonious way, then there must be a resolution to that. There must be the forgiveness and the moving forward as if it did not occur. It doesn't mean you have to necessarily forget it, but it's the recognition that if every single day it is a reminder, if everything that is done in the context of remembering what you did 10 years ago, it doesn't matter what your motivation is. It doesn't matter if you think that somehow that is the path forward. That relationship's never going to work out. Likewise, it does not matter if your motivation is equality or bringing people together. If your way of trying to obtain that is creating divisions based on race or religion or whatever, and then pointing out, you know what these people did a long time ago, you will never, ever, ever achieve what it is that you claim you're wanting. Never. Now, I mean, that's just fact. You can feel enlightened. You can feel as if you're woke. You can feel as if you're really, you know, doing something and recognizing, how bad you have been and now how good you are because you recognize how badly you've been. That is not going to achieve what your goal is. If you just want to pat yourself on the back, if you want to print off a little certificate that labels you as an enlightened individual, or as we call it today, woke, all right, congratulations. But if your goal truly is creating unity in the sense of people able to peacefully and lovingly live side by side, you will not accomplish that. In fact, you will get us further from it. And that's what's happening in the Springfield Public School District. I want to reiterate some aspects of this, but then I have a further direction I want to go with it. One of the largest obstacles to peace in the Middle East is the fact that the indoctrination of young people in much of the Middle East to see the Jewish people as the problem has made it virtually impossible for there to be peace in the Middle East, although Trump seems to be steering that ship in that direction. And this is understood, what has been understood by the activists in the Middle East clearly isn't understood, or frighteningly, maybe it is understood by some in this country, and specifically in the Springfield Public School District, that you, if you indoctrinate them at a young age, that is a very, very, very difficult thing to undo. The education system at a preschool level in the Middle East has been used in order to teach that the Jewish people are the oppressors, that the Jewish people are the source of many of the problems, that the Jewish people are privileged, and that the fact that they refuse to acknowledge that just proves that they are the oppressors. Even in entertainment, they have Muppet-like, Sesame Street-like programming for young kids. This is really prevalent in the Palestinian relationship. They indoctrinate them at a young age. And if you grow up believing that, it is, I don't want to say impossible because nothing's impossible, but it becomes almost impossible to undo that damage of division. Which is why it's so dangerous that teachers are being forced to believe this stuff in the Springfield public school systems. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. One of the great pieces that has been around for several years, and I've read it over the year, and it's not that old, just a few years, about totalitarianism. And I want to share it with you because it really nails on the head where we are today. And this was written several years ago, while there were some elements of it that were clearly evolving. It is becoming so prevalent, and it's, you know, on the theme of Springfield Public Schools. That's the approach, the totalitarian approach is what they're taking in the schools. When it comes to teachers, one of the things, and this is not really a footnote, but just a little side note, if you will, part of their indoctrination was a land acknowledgement that they were presented, and it was a statement that the Office of Equity and Diversity created for the Springfield Public School R12, and it reads, "As we begin our training, we want to acknowledge and honor the Native and Indigenous people whose lands we currently gather on. Springfield Public School is built on ancestral territory of the Osage, Delaware, and Kickapoo nations and people. In doing social justice work, it is important we acknowledge the dark history and violence against Native and Indigenous people across the world. In this work, we're committed to promoting, supporting, and affirming all communities, especially those that are marginalized." Now, of course, the irony is that that's exactly what they're doing, is marginalizing. I enjoy history. I enjoy just learning about how cultures have behaved. One of the first introductions to that for me was a book that I and it wasn't a huge book at all, and I don't recall how I obtained it, but it was called The Leadership Secrets of Attila the Hun. And it was talking, it was explaining why it was Attila the Hun had, there was such loyalty in his conquest. But of course, much of what was learned as I read that was just the barbaric nature and the approach that Attila the Hun and his followers took when it came to conquering land. Found that very, very interesting. I also find very interesting how Native Americans, some tribes specifically to a greater degree than others, were warriors of the most brutal fashion ever. For many people, incomprehensibly so. it was not uncommon in battle for the victors of certain tribes to take the enemy and flay them alive, which means they would literally, while they were alive, cut off their face, peel it off, and disembowel them. It was not uncommon as part of the conquest in these battles to, in front of, you know, they would just kill the men, rape the women, and kill the children. And this wasn't just something that they would do to white settlers, but they would do it to other tribes as well. It was absolute brutality. The film saw that level of barbaric torture, if you will. And, you know, some of the historical writings about these things. Not to mention they were slave owners. They owned slaves from, you know, prior to the Revolution up to the Civil War when slavery was banned. They were slave owners. The big five so-called the enlightened civilized tribes were slave owners. And it wasn't like a little slave here or there. They were very prevalent slave owners. Now, that doesn't mean that they're all bad, just like it doesn't mean white people are bad because white people own slaves. But it's just amazing to me, and this is a lack of education, I guess, which is real problematic given that these people are in charge of public education. This portrayal of certain groups of people as completely peaceful, not having anything ever done anything wrong, and portraying them as victims to people who have. As a person who enjoys history, it's disappointing because it is denying history. It's denying the truth of history. And, of course, this is the way that these things are taught. And so, it would be as if you had science teachers that were teaching the world is flat, gravity isn't real, and the universe revolves around the earth. Of course, we would not allow that because that's not true. Yet when it comes to history, we allow all of these absurd notions to be taught, which aren't true at all. And if you do teach the truth in history, particularly when it comes to indigenous people, you get accused of racism, or, you know, they say, well, so you think all Native Americans are bad? No, just like all white people aren't bad because they were slave owners. This rewriting of history is, again, something that we have seen done. And when the outcome occurs, we promise ourselves never again. And we come up with phrases that comfort us like a warm blanket, such as, you know, those who refuse to acknowledge or learn history are doomed to repeat it and never again and will never forget. And then we find ourselves doing so. And it's a shame, one, the motivation for it, which is to divide races and to convince some people that some races are really good inherently and are peaceful and they are just victims and nothing else, and then other people are bad and they are the oppressors, so the motivation is bad. But it's also disappointing because these are institutions who are supposed to be teaching information and they're failing at it miserably. This is an absolute complete failure of properly educating people. It's not even a lack of education. It is a miseducation by teaching young people information that is false and completely out of context. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Here's the latest traffic. And Don Luzader with the latest news update.
Good morning. Family members of a man killed when a television tower collapsed in Fordland are suing the Missouri State Board of Governors. Steve Lemay from Washington State, 56 years old, died when the Ozarks Public Television Tower fell back in 2018. He was part of a crew hard to do upgrades on that tower. But the lawsuit says Missouri State, which owned the tower, did not give him the right equipment to make the changes. An OSHA report blamed the collapse on the removal of key bolts during a bracing procedure. From piano and voice lessons to recitals, the music will soon be silenced at a fine arts academy in Springfield. The founder of Conservatory of the Ozarks says a sudden and dramatic decrease in student enrollment during the pandemic has forced the academy to close at the end of this month. Now, many of the students will still be able to continue to work with their teachers online or through in-home lessons. And that is the latest news.
KTDS First Alert forecast, mostly sunny, 83 for a high today. Tonight, clear, 60 for a low. Mostly sunny, 80 tomorrow. Friday, sunny, a high of 77. It's 58, sunny. We are streaming online, of course, KSGF.com. And if you miss any of the program, you can easily subscribe to Spotify, iTunes, and automatically get it that way at your convenience. Elite Outdoor Innovations, as we get towards fall and we're going to get into winter. And what does this mean, particularly if you have a lot of landscaping? Maybe you have outdoor water features, or perhaps you have different shrubs and you're not really sure how to care for them, or if you're caring for them in the proper manner. Well, Elite Outdoor Innovations, they can be your absolute full-service landscaping. We're talking big picture here. We're talking this isn't, you know, lawn mowing service. There are people that do that, and they do it very well. But Elite Outdoor Innovations are the people that upkeep your property in a way that impresses people, where they go, I wonder how they have the time and the day and the talent and the education in order to have such beautiful property, whether it's your home, your outdoor oasis that you've created for entertaining for yourself, or maybe your business, giving that first impression that catches the eye. Elite Outdoor Innovation, they not only can create it for you, but they can maintain it year-round. And that's especially important going from fall to winter and from winter to spring. Elite Outdoor Innovations, get in touch with them. The contact information is at EliteOutdoorInnovations.com. I talked quite a bit this hour about the apparent re-education of teachers in the Springfield public school systems, the required education of racism and how white people are the oppressors, and Make America Great Again is white supremacy, and pretty much standard Marxist fare. There was a comment from one of the contributors of this information that I thought was very, very telling. And the comment was that this was required educating of the teachers, and they were also required to respond to it. Now, I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I know what the purpose of that is. The purpose of that is to make sure that you are training people to believe what you believe. So it's not enough that you provide the information. You are determining whether or not they have converted over to your side. There is a movie on Netflix, and I don't know if there'll be spoiler alerts. I suppose a bit of a spoiler alert, but I'm going to tell you anyway. And it's One BR for One Bedroom. And the story is about this gal who has gone out to California, and she's looking for a place to live, and she finds the perfect apartment with the perfect community. Well, things eventually go very, very dark, in which they essentially imprison her in an empty room, and they use torturous at times situations in order to get her to convert to their sort of self-contained utopian society. And of course, she doesn't understand why they're doing this, and the goal, the purpose, is to create their little perfect society, to get people to believe or to live the way that they believe is good, honest living. And they purposefully sought her out because they believed she needed correcting. And, you know, they did so by having an open house. And when people would come look at the apartment and everything, they sort of vetted them. And they decided, based on her background, she needed help. She was on the wrong path. And it wasn't just about correcting her behavior, but what was important to them was converting her to where she actually bought into it and believed it. And one of the ways they did it is, you know, once they went through the physical aspects of breaking her down, was they would begin training her in what ways were the proper living to create, help create this perfect society. But they would hook her to a lie detector test and ask her questions like, do you want to join us? And when she, the first round, said yes, they saw that she wasn't telling the truth. So they had to continue on the teaching, because it wasn't enough that she broke down and said, okay, I give in, I'll do what you want. She had to believe it. That was necessary. And until they knew that in her mind they flipped that switch and she became one of them, it wasn't good enough. We see that with people that say silence is violence. That's the same totalitarian mindset. It's not enough that you believe, or it's not enough that you say, okay, fine, whatever, but you have to believe what we believe. This is what you see with people that accost individuals at restaurants demanding that they raise their fist in solidarity. And this is what you're seeing in the Springfield Public School District. Indoctrinating people into a certain belief system because they have to believe it. This is why it isn't enough that they provide, as a requirement, information regarding these particular issues of race and police and Trump to teachers, but they are required to respond. It is that lie detector test. It is to make sure that mentally they're on board. Now, that being said, I'm going to take a quick break, and then I want to read to you this fantastic piece. I've read it before. It's from 2015, titled The New Totalitarians Are Here, and it's more prevalent today than ever. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. All right, I'm going to read to you a piece I've read before, and it's more prevalent now than ever. And Sarah, I sent this to you so you can get it out, because I know every time I read this, people request a link to it. And it's titled The New Totalitarians Are Here. There is a basic difference in the traditions of political science between authoritarians and totalitarians. People throw both of these words around, but as is so often the case, they're using words they may not always understand. They have real meaning, however, and the difference between them is important. Simply put, authoritarians merely want obedience, while totalitarians, whose rule is rooted in an ideology, want obedience and conversion. Authoritarians are a dime a dozen. Totalitarians are rare. The authoritarians are the guys in charge who want to stay in charge and don't much care about you or what you're doing as long as you stay out of their way. They are the jefes and his thugs in a brutal regime that want you to shut up, go to work, look the other way when your loudmouth neighbor gets his lights punched out by goons in black jackets. Live or die, it's all the same to the regime. Totalitarians are a different breed. These are the people who have a plan, who think they see the future more clearly than you, or who are convinced they grasp reality in a way that you don't. They don't serve themselves, or they don't serve themselves exclusively. See, they serve history, or the people, or the idea, or some other ideological totem that justifies their actions. They want obedience, of course, but even more, they want their rule and their belief system to be accepted and self-sustaining. And the only way to achieve this is to create a new society of people who share their beliefs, even if it means bludgeoning every last citizen into enlightenment. That's what makes totalitarians different and more dangerous. They're totalistic in the sense that they demand a complete reorientation of the individual to the state and its ideological ends. Every person who harbors a secret objection, or even so much as a doubt, is a danger to their future of the whole project. And so the regime compels its subject not only to obey, but to believe. This is what George Orwell understood so well in his landmark novel 1984. His dystopian state doesn't really care about, quote, Dittian obedience. It already knows how to get that. What it demands, and will get by any means, is a belief in the party, Rectitude, and in its leader, Big Brother. If torturing the daylights out of people until they denounce even their loved ones is what it takes, so be it. That's why the ending of the novel is so terrifying. After the two rebellious lovers of the story are broken and made to turn on each other, the Rex left by the state are left to sit before the leader's face on a screen with only one emotion still alive in the husks of their bodies. They finally, truly love Big Brother. I've gone down this road of literacy and academic exposure because I fear an increasing number of my fellow Americans are at heart becoming totalitarians. Now, by this, I do not mean America is creating Nazis or Stalinists. It's true, of course, that both Nazis and Stalinism were species of the genus totalitarian. But both have since died the deaths they deserved. I mean that ordinary people, and not a few opinions and thought leaders, are adopting the same insane belief that human minds can be molded and shaped and made to think in new ways by sheer force. Yes, I mean people like actor George Takei and his odious attack on Justice Clarence Thomas. Takei called Thomas a clown in blackface and said Thomas had abdicated his status as an African American. Also, much like 1984, some of the journals ostensibly committed to liberal thought have already tried to scrub their pages of Takei's comments and co-sign the matter to the Orwellian memory hole. I also include people like Quartz.com journalist Meredith Bennett Smith, who disagrees with writer Kathy Young about sexual conduct codes on U.S. campuses and thus wants the Washington Post never again to publish the horrendous rape apologist Young in its pages. This isn't political debate or even name-calling. This is the incendiary dehumanization of an African-American judge and a female writer. I grant that overall American political debate on all sides has become nastier and less tolerant. What makes these kind of attacks, however, smack of totalitarianism, and I could reel off dozens more examples, but your computer would run out of pixels, is that people like Takei and Bennett Smith are lighting their torches and demanding rough justice even on issues where they already won. In other words, it isn't enough that Thomas was in the court's minority or that no college in America is bothering to even listen to Young. They want Thomas and Young silenced, stripped of their status in their peer group, and to recant, even after being defeated in public on the issue at hand. That's terrifying, because it means that for a fair number of people in what's supposed to be a democracy, winning in any normal political sense simply isn't enough. They are not really trying to capture something as pedestrian as political equality, nor are they satisfied if they get it. They are not really seeking a win in the courts or a legal solution or a negotiated settlement. Those are all just merit badges to be collected along the way to a more important goal. What they really want and what they in fact demand is that you agree with them. They want you to believe. It is not enough that for these Americans to say, I've had my day in court and prevailed. In effect, they now add, you do not have the right to hold a different opinion, even if you lose in the public arena. You may not hold on to your belief as a minority view or even as a private thought. And if you persist and still disagree, I will attack you without quarter and set others on you to deprive you of your status in your profession, of your standing in your community, and even your livelihood. This attitude promises social warfare without end, because there is no peace to be had until the opposing side offers a sincere and unconditional surrender. It means that the people on the left, taking Bakers to court, de-Africanizing Justice Thomas, and making Young an accomplice to rape, will not be satisfied with winning. For the new totalitarians, prevailing in the courts or at the ballot box is not enough if there's still a suspicion that anyone, anywhere, might still be committing thought crime. Most of all, they do not want you, present reader, to even think about agreeing with people like Justice Thomas or Young. By attacking everyone in the public sphere, from judges to writers, they're sending a clear message that there's plenty of room in the bonfire. It is a vow that you will be held to account for your personal thoughts, even if you've already been defeated in a democratic or judicial contest. No, even after losing, you will be forced to admit the errors of your ways. You must accept that you have sinned. You must disregard your own values and accept the ideas of your betters. You must denounce yourself. for undermining the construction of a better world. You too must love Big Brother. If today that isn't so prevalent, and if what we talked about in the first hour with the Springfield Public School District and what they are teaching teachers as part of mandatory teaching does not perfectly fit into what a totalitarian is, then nothing does. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. I want to remind you again, if you go to Zillow and you look up Zero State Highway U, Rogersville, Missouri, you're going to see that land that Don Carriker has. I know I mentioned that earlier, but just, you know, once again, if you do have an interest in buying some of that beautiful, beautiful land out there, and then, of course, go to iwantagreathomeloan.com, contact info, and get in touch with Don, and he'll actually take you out there, and you can get a tour of that. You know, one last comment in that piece we'll get up on totalitarianism and how it was written in 2015. If in one of the areas it talks about the de-Africanization of black people who don't agree with the totalitarians on the left. And if you don't think that that extreme approach has gripped the Democrat Party, all I must do is reference you to Joe Biden's comment that if you don't vote for me, you're not black. That tells you how extreme they've become. Glenn Beck's next. I'm Nick Reed. Talk to you tomorrow.